Hi, welcome to episode 16 of the Drive Podcast. This episode will be all about a conversation that occurred recently in my educational technology class with pre-service teachers. It was amazing. And basically what happened was these pre-service teachers divided the class into two parts and gave each side one particular viewpoint to defend. One side was the case for educational technology. The other side was the case against educational technology. It was really fascinating. And Josh Flores encouraged me to do the podcast of it while it was happening. But alas, I didn't have any of my gear with me. But it was a great idea in hindsight. And so this podcast is a sum up of that conversation. It's a little bit longer than the other podcasts, about 5 minutes longer. Most of my podcasts are around 15 minutes. This is going to be pushing over 20. So thanks for listening. To find today's podcast and all the associated links to go with it, please go to teachingfromhere.com/podcast, search for episode 16. I would love it if you would give me feedback on Stitcher or iTunes or wherever you get this podcast, as it helps me understand exactly how you think this podcast goes. Please don't hesitate to give a rating. If you enjoy it, share that. If you have critiques, let me know. That's how we get better. All right. Thank you for listening and enjoy the drive.
On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome to the Drive Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. I appreciate your listening and your interactions. And I know it's kind of weird with a podcast saying that, but I have time to do podcasts when I'm sitting in my car and driving to and from my graduate work in Stillwater, Oklahoma. But today's coming to you as I am taking a slight pause on my break and the drive to finish, you know, things that are up against the deadline. But I just wanted to share with you the amazing things that happened recently in one of the classes that I teach at OSU, Oklahoma State University. And the class that I teach is an ed tech class. So it's pre-service teachers. They're in the College of Education. Their intention is to teach. And it's only for those types of students. It's not for students that are looking to pick up an elective or something like that. There's a different separate sort of class offered for that. This is for pre-service teachers. And the question last night that came up was about educational technology. And the students teach the class, like the pre-service students teach the class the majority of the time. I teach the first 3 weeks. I teach in the exact middle of the semester for 1 week as we talk about some things. And then I teach the very, 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 very final week. In other words, the final. The student teachers, the pre-service teachers, teach the entire rest of the time. They create the lesson plans. We give them the tools that they would, you know, that need to be taught and some of the educational technology that needs to be discussed. And then they create the lesson plan. And the girls that taught last night are pre-service teachers. They're from all over the place, from Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado. They had such amazing ideas. They were great. And one of the things that they did was they divided the class into two separate pieces. And the way they divided the class was kind of fun. They told them that they had to organize themselves into a line by birthday without talking, which is a fun way to kind of split up your class, right? And so the students, there's 18 of them, so they had to organize themselves by birthday without talking. And for the most part, they got it right. And then they divided the class into two. And on one side of the class, they gave them the prompt, defend educational technology. Why do we need to use technology in the classroom? What are the benefits from using educational technology in the classroom? And on the other side, it was the completely opposite. Why do we not need educational technology in the classroom? Why do we not need to focus on this stuff? Why do we need to stay kind of traditional in what we do? And the students amazed me with their discussion. They were given a specific frame to defend. They weren't told. It wasn't just kind of like an open license, like say what you want sort of thing. So whether they believed it or not, they had to defend using technology and they had to defend not using it. And the conversation was outstanding. On the technology side, they had great ideas like being able to share with other people and collaborate and talk and how the fact that the whole world is is in your pocket, so to speak, for some of those people. And the non-technology side was excellent as well by sharing how one of the drawbacks of technology is this. All the time, face down, on the phone, and lack of personal relationship and interaction. And it was great because most of these students are traditional, you know, what we think of as traditional students, right out of high school or whatever, in their early 20s or late teens. But some of these students are also more non-traditional students, older students who, you know, who have come back to school and have a passion for education. So hearing all this conversation was excellent, and they all made great points. And so I just wanted a podcast on this and just kind of sum up some of my thoughts. You know, some of the drawbacks to technology is that it can be a distraction in the classroom. What do you do when little Jimmy's sitting over there and is texting all dang hour? What do you do? How do you handle that? It's not appropriate. How is he learning? And one of the questions that came up last night was one of my students asked me, you know, this is from a student, so take it with a grain of salt, I don't know. But she goes, Scott, I observed a class where a guy took a student's phone and hit it with a mallet, like one of those rubber mallets. And then he threw the phone out the window. Can he do that? And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, where have we come to as a society? Like, as an education, as teachers, like, why would you do that, you know? And then on the flip side though, I had one of the students say, you know, but they can pull their phone out and we can do a poll everywhere, and then I know exactly where every student is in the lesson. And so you take those two opposing viewpoints and you put them together, and it's hard. I know that growing up, I shared with my students last night, and you feel free to have a little bit of sympathy for me. It is 18 beautiful women, and I say that in a safe, professional way, and me. There's not a single token boy in the room except for me. So that in itself presents its own challenges. But so far, these ladies have been amazing and excellent and thoughtful. And the girls that taught last night, the young women that taught last night, were just I thought they were brilliant. And I can't wait to see what the rest of my my students do. That was really exciting. And I tweeted at Josh Flores while they were having this conversation, because he does his podcast too. And he goes, are you recording this? And oh, I wasn't. Educational technology failure, but also a benefit. So anyway, back to the discussion. I think educational technology has its place in education. I have a lot of passion for that. And if you know me or have read anything that I've blogged about, you know that I think technology is the way to go. There's just really cool things there. And a real quick sum up of that, a friend of mine teaches sixth grade history, or did sixth grade social studies. And one of the things that you learn in sixth grade social studies, or fifth grade, I can't remember exactly what it was, it's fifth or sixth grade, but she taught American Revolution. And she was able to connect with a teacher in Great Britain who also teaches American Revolution, but it's not called American Revolution over there, I don't believe. And so what she was able to do was arrange a Skype session with her students and that teacher, and they were able to actually have a change where my friend Beth actually traveled to Great Britain to teach for 1 week to this lady's students the American Revolution from the United States American Revolution point of view. How different that lesson must have been. And then the next year, her friend who she met, you know, through technology, was able to come to the United States and spend 1 week teaching her class about the American Revolution from the British point of view. That is I don't want to say it's the pinnacle of using educational technology, but it is way up there in using educational technology. It is great, absolutely great that those opportunities were able to happen. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. And so I think what happens is we lose sight of what's going on with educational technology by thinking of it this way. I've got this killer PowerPoint and I'm going to lecture all hour and watch these things move, and I got little noises and the transitions are amazing. And that's not educational technology. I mean it is. Okay, the teacher created something that can go onto the internet where students can look at it later. But educational technology is more than that. It's more than just a student looking at a computer to get knowledge. It's more than just a student using the computer to search Google. It's more than just a teacher creating a PowerPoint. It's more than just a teacher using Smart Notebook without letting the students get involved. It's so much more than that. It's amazing what it can do. And so I think there's a lot of good things in educational technology. You know what? Students still need to be able to write pen and paper. And we can argue about cursive or not. I got into this argument with my mother recently, and she brought up a very good point. How are they going to read the Declaration of Independence if we stop teaching cursive? And I get it. How do you read the Declaration of Independence? Somebody wrote that in cursive, and it's really, really nice cursive, by the way. And so how do you read that if you don't teach cursive? On the other hand, what can we use technology for? And if I can't write cursive, or if my penmanship is terrible because of some sort of thing, now I can type it, and everybody can read it. There's an excellent, excellent website out there by a young lady who has a significant learning disorder. And I can't remember exactly what the disorder is, but she created a website that kind of showed the way that she has to live. And I wish I could remember exactly what it was, but she couldn't convey her life without the technology to do so. And so if you were to go to her website, you would see, and I heard her in a TED Talk, I think, or something like that, or I can't remember exactly where it was. But when you land on her website, the video and the noise shows you exactly what she sees every day. That is powerful to me, because I just assume everybody sees and talks and writes like I do. And I don't think about that. I really don't. Like, I try to be aware of other people's needs. I try to be aware of other people's potential limitations, and I try to be aware of like special needs and things like that. I try to be aware of that. But when you're tooling through Walmart or shopping or whatever, you're not thinking about all of that. You're thinking about, why doesn't everybody see the world like me? And so I think technology can be really powerful because it gives every student a voice. I think technology can be powerful because it lets every student share what they're learning in ways that teachers that have kind of my experiences couldn't imagine. My media class when I was in college centered on an overhead projector and the color form things that you could like peel and stick onto the overhead sheets, or even the ones that you could like scratch off. You know, like you could scratch off the A and scratch off the B and scratch off the C, and it would make these really pretty block letters. We had to learn how to feed the reel-to-reel movie player, and I think it was 16 millimeter. And so there's things like that. We would consider that like ancient technology today. Ancient. It's like super ancient. And as a teacher now, if we were to see a reel-to-reel movie thing, we would almost turn up our noses and be like, oh my gosh, get an overhead projector, get a smart board, get a computer. And so there is a difference now between what technology used to be and what it is now. And our education system now has a lot of teachers that are really close to retirement, or teachers kind of mid-career teachers, but we're not loaded down with a lot of young teachers. And these mid-career to retirement age teachers, we didn't grow up with all the cool stuff that's available today. All the cool stuff. This podcast would have been impossible 20 years ago. It just wouldn't have happened for anybody. Even the ones that you listen to, like Serial. Not happening. But because of technology, think about some of those types of things. Think about the impact they have. Everybody's talking about Serial. And if you don't know what Serial is, Google Serial, S-E-R-I-A-L. It's amazing. And so I say that to say this. Yes, teaching can occur without technology. It certainly can. Amazing teaching can occur without technology. I know teachers who are purposeful in not including technology in their lessons. And there is no doubt in my mind they're the best teachers ever. I know them. Like, I worked with them. I love them. But on the flip side, I go, gosh, what are we missing because we don't incorporate technology? What if we were to allow our students the freedom to share what they've learned, to do amazing things? What if you, teacher, what if you as a teacher put your stuff out there to just share for everybody to see and comment on and learn from? How do you grow as a teacher? Don't you learn through technology? Do you read other people's blogs? Do you use Facebook to find links to resources that you can use in your classroom? And so if we deny our students that opportunity as students in high school, and we don't teach them how to pull all these different resources together to use it as a construction view of knowledge, like they're constructing knowledge through their social fabrics, what are we doing? Why are we teaching? And so the conversation that occurred last night was incredible, because we had teachers on both sides of this fence, and they presented the most amazing arguments. And the three young ladies that were teaching last night had the most amazing questions in response to some of those arguments. And it was epic. It gave me so much hope in our future. When I watched my students teach last night, and I watched those who weren't teaching that were participating and learning, I was excited and energized beyond belief because of the passion that they're bringing. And I don't know them very well yet. We're 4 weeks into the semester, and I know that there's a lot of growth still that needs to occur as teachers, for all of us, including me, including you. But I was so excited. Like, I could not wait. I could not wait for these young women to graduate so that they can start making this impact on the lives of students. And I'm thinking last night to myself, you know, everybody in this room, as we're participating in this discussion and having a very raw discussion about EdTech versus non-EdTech, I would have my kids and any of my own kids, I would let any of these people teach them. They're so passionate and so full of life and so exciting. And so, to EdTech or not to EdTech, that's a personal question. That's one you have to ask yourself. How comfortable are you with it? Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to try something? Are you willing to do something? But on the flip side of that, what limitations are we putting in if we don't? What are we doing to our students if we don't allow them to grow through technology? What are we doing to our students if we don't allow them the opportunity to explore this space and share with others and get feedback? When I was a student in high school, there was no way I could have made a direct connection to anybody outside of I wrote a letter to John Denver when I was in fifth grade because I liked his Downhill Rock song. I wrote him a letter and I didn't get anything back. But you know what? Today with Twitter, if John Denver were still alive, I could tweet him and it shows up for the entire world to see. And he may or may not tweet me back. I've tweeted at Elton John, and I've tweeted at Duran Duran, and I've tweeted at Muse. They haven't responded to me, and that's okay. But what if they did? You know, what if they said something back? How amazing. So I point out musicians, but let's think about other things. Let's think about expert engineers or astronomy people or NASA or bankers or fill in the blank. They're on Twitter. They're on social media. They have websites. They have cool things for kids to download. One of the doctoral students that I work with, Jose, he does a lot of stuff with finances, and he wants to be able to help Hispanic people achieve some financial stability through education about how the whole system works. And the Federal Reserve out of St. Louis has great, 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 great things that he uses that are free. And that wasn't around when I was a student. I think that would be great if every student had to have some sort of financial understanding about the world. And it was a math class where we didn't just shove off all the kids who struggled in math, but it was a legitimate math class where you learn about how finances work, how the money market works, how stocks work, how savings works, how credit card works, and can be helpful or a disaster in the making. And so, yeah, I'm passionate about educational technology, and I think there's a lot of things that can happen there. So I just think this conversation last night, I should have periscoped it. I didn't. So another ed tech fault on me. There's all these different ways to use ed tech, and I just sometimes I can't keep up, and I love it. Okay. The point is this: traditional values in school are important. We wouldn't be where we are without them. But you can't get to the moon with traditional values. You have to look towards the horizon and into the stars. And you have to imagine impossible things. And then you have to reach for them. And that's the difference. And I'm a true believer that with educational technology, we can look at the stars and we can reach them. I really believe that. But you also have to have sound pedagogy. You also have to have good classroom management. And you have to have those skills to incorporate all of this the right way. So thanks, Josh Flores, for this challenge in this podcast. And I hope that it makes an impact on you and your teaching. And remember that no matter what you do, where you are, however you're involved in education, you make a difference on a student, on the life of a student every single day. And that student may never tell you. And they may be the most difficult kid in the world, but they love you and they're so grateful that you're there. So thank you for all that you do, and be brilliant.